If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans, which has been our key verse in this whole series. And again, you can look to the screen if you don't have your Bible. I do encourage you, and I mentioned this earlier, I do encourage you to bring your Bible with you for at minimum to write notes in it. To write notes. Because you only, they tell us, we only hear half, 50% of what someone tells us. After a few minutes later, it keeps diminishing, gets less and less. When you write something down, it'll be with you forever. Because you can always go back and look and say, oh, I remember that. And so don't try to keep recreating the wheel. Keep growing. Amen? So I encourage you to get it. This key verse we've been doing out of Romans 1, verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed. Why don't you read this with me if you would? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. That includes me. Now, we've talked about the context of salvation there being soteria in the Greek and encompasses not only your forgiveness of sins and you going to heaven, but every promise of God purchased by the blood of Jesus on Calvary. That's why the King James translation says the promises of God to you are yea and amen. Why? Because it's already been purchased for you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Healing's already been purchased for you. Can I get an amen? Amen? The financial blessings of God have already been purchased for you. Can I get an amen? The peace of God that exceeds your understanding has already been purchased for you by the blood of Jesus. Can I get an amen? Amen. I mean, all of the promises of God have already been prepared, purchased, available. Now, do we have them all operating in our lives? Not yet. Why? Because we have to grow in these things. You can wait till you get to heaven to have them, or you can be able to bring them into this side of eternity. Well, Hebrews 6, through faith and patience. We inherit the promises of God through faith and patience. And so faith is a tangible force. It's that believing factor that brings in the kingdom of God into our world. Jesus said in part of a prayer sample, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, in your world, in your career, in your finances, in your peace of mind, in your rest, in your areas of life that you see tangibly every day and experience on earth as it is in heaven. And so that tells us that what God has available for you in the by and by one day when you get to glory land, it's available there, but you can begin to access it here. Why? So that you not only can enjoy it, but you can share it. What a great testimony, because when you get to heaven, you can have all pain gone and be healed, but there's nobody that can benefit from it as far as salvation. When God heals you on this side of eternity, there's somebody that you know that doesn't know him, and what a great story. Thanks be to God. Again, everything I say, please challenge it with the word of God. The Bible says, thanks be to God, which always causes you to triumph through Christ Jesus, that you become an aroma, a fragrance, an odor of his goodness wherever you go. Why? Because God wants you to stand apart so that people can see his goodness through your life. When Jesus said, they approached him, good master, and he said, there's none good but one, and that's the Father. It's because the goodness of God is so amazing. Most Christians, if they come out of a traditional church, doesn't mean we're bad people. Some of us have been taught wrong. Some of us get the idea that God's trying to make your life harder or make your life miserable, or he's going to give you something one day or take it away from you the next day. And they'll quote, they sing songs about it. He gives and takes away. But what they don't understand, if they would dig a little deeper, is that is a misconstrued idea of God. Why? Is it in the Bible? Yes, Job said it. But later, if you dig in there in the story of Job, you'll find out that Job later repents for speaking of things that he did not know. It is something that's in the Bible, that therefore it's true, but it's not truth. When Peter was at the fire and the little servant girl came and said, aren't you one of his disciples? Peter said, I don't know Jesus. That's true, but that's not truth. The truth is he knew him. But it's true that it happened. So we got to understand, be able to separate and know the difference between truth and something that historically is true. That's why you look at the life of Jesus. He is the expressed image of the Father. He said it himself. He said, if you want to see the Father, look at me. If you want to, how many times did you see Jesus go around stealing from people? How many times did you go around seeing Jesus making people sick? Find me a scripture where Jesus said, you know what? You are doing so well, and I'm so proud of you. Let there be boils all over your body for the rest of your life. Getting quiet. Because, folks, sometimes we got to get back to what the Bible says and not what our traditions have taught us. Some of us can tell us, well, the church I came out of, this is what they taught. Here, don't take this wrong. I don't care what anybody has taught you. I want to know, what does the Bible say? Because when I got it, I don't care I challenge you to challenge everything that I say with the Bible, because it doesn't matter what people say. It's what the Bible says to us. What is the Bible telling us? And we find that God wants you to be victorious in every area. But the key element to that is our ability to believe. One day a man approached Jesus who had a demon-possessed child that was throwing himself down, and he said, if you can have mercy, please help us. And Jesus responded, all things are possible to him that believes. All things are possible to him that believes. Not just agreeing and not just wishful thinking, but believe. Well, I don't know if that's possible because I was believing for something. Why can't I believe for $1 billion? If you can't believe for $100, you won't believe for $1 billion. Romans tells us to operate of our level of faith. But believing is always connected to the revelation of God's word, not to your imagination. Let me say that again. That's where some people get messed up, even in the world of confession, and I believe in the power of confession. But confession is not you making up something and then saying it 1,000 times. The word of God confession is you speaking what God is saying. For God sees the end just as well as he does the beginning. And God calls those things which be not as though they already are. He doesn't call things that are as though they're not. He calls things that are not in existence as if they already have been. Why? Because he operates in the context of eternity, not in this linear concept that we know as time. And God sees the future equally as he does the past. And he'll look at someone without children and say, Abram, I'm calling you Abraham a father before that he had children. He'll look at somebody who's sick and says, I call you healed. He'll look at somebody, Gideon, who was the weakest, least in the family, and his family was the least of the tribe, and says, you are a mighty man of valor. Not because what Gideon has seen, but what God sees before Gideon walked it out. God sees it all, and his promises of God to you through the word of God as they are revealed to you are yea and amen, which means they're purchased and they are completed. In the mind of God, it's already settled, and God's waiting for somebody that would dare enough to believe that if God said it, Romans 4 says, Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, that the God who made the promise was well able, that the God who made the promise was well able, that the God, well, I know somebody that didn't work for them. Well, then the Bible says, let all men be liars and God be true. You got to say, if God, you said it, I believe it. And against all odds, if it's hopeless, I choose to believe. Say, I choose to believe. But your believing is not a momentary thing. Hebrews 6, faith and patience. Just like those individuals who just graduated, some through high school. Do you remember back in the day? I remember that those times of graduating high school. Man, 2 years ago, it was good. Well, if she said it, I can say it. Come on. You know, when you're at that age, we're full of dreams, full of hope, full of goals. And isn't it amazing how after a couple battles with life, life will try to beat that out of you. Life will try to beat that out of you. And everybody in the world can say they're going to bring you hope, but there's only one hope to the world, and that's Jesus. Can I get an amen? And he truly restores hope on the inside of us, because life will get you to stop dreaming. And if you're here today and you just are in that early stage of life and everything is sky's the limit and there's no limitation, I want to encourage you. You catch hold of the dreams that God gives you. Don't let them go. Stand strong. Fight the good fight, and you don't let it. But if you're here today and you've had a little couple battles of your own and you're kind of raggedy and not as you were back in the day, and life has knocked some of that out of you, problems have knocked a little of that dreaming out of you, and you begin to settle in for this is the best it's going to be, I want to encourage you today. My takeaway that I'm praying for you as you walk out of here, regardless of the cycle of life that you're in, and say, wait a minute, I can begin to dream again. I can begin to believe again. I can begin to expect again something greater than I'm already at in my own life. God didn't wait till Abraham was young. He waited till he was old. And against all hopes that I'm going to do something that nobody else can take credit for. And it doesn't mean that you need God to do something if you're struggling. You might be doing well in life. Did you hear me? Remember the time when Solomon And they're establishing the new temple, and Solomon sacrificed, the Bible says, 1,000 sacrifices, blood offerings before the Lord. 1,000 animals. That took some time. But he was so passionate about his God and the things of God and the house of God that right after that, God shows up. Most people know about that part of the story. And God said, Solomon, what do you want? Ask me anything, I'll give it to you. Wouldn't you like to have that? That's better than 3 wishes from a genie. You ever see those movies? And I've always wondered, why didn't anybody ever make one wish a million more wishes? Have you ever wondered that? You got 3. I want one of my wishes to be another million wishes, right? So, okay, some of you don't watch TV, but that's okay. He shows up and says, anything you want. And Solomon says, Lord, your people are so great. They're so vast. We can't even count them. Give me wisdom to know the difference between right and wrong, so that I can lead your and manage your people. And God said, again, check it out. God said, because you didn't ask for riches, because you didn't ask for fame, but you asked something that would help you to do what's dear to my heart, my people, I'm going to give you that wisdom you ask for. And there's not going to be anybody like you. You're going to be the wisest man. And not only am I going to give you wisdom, I'm going to give you fame. I'm going to give you riches. I want you to back up for a second. At the time God was talking to Solomon, Solomon was king. Solomon was already rich. See, we just think God blessing the people that are struggling to get them to just enough. But there, you know, one of the challenges in the Christian walk, and this is not just talking about finances, this is talking about any area of your life, we can get comfortable in that zone of not the more than enough in your health, more than enough in the peace of God, more than enough in the presence of God. We can get comfortable with just enough of God, just enough. You know, I got just enough of God to keep me happy, and give me just enough of God so so that my relationships are okay. They're not great, but they're okay. We can get comfortable in that space and think this is the best God is going to do. But I want to challenge you today to begin to open your mind for even greater. God's not looking for someone who's just struggling to bless. He's taking people that already think that they're there comfortably, and said, let me take you to a place that has never been before. You could be the first in your family to go in a place financially, emotionally, spiritually, in career, whatever, that no one in your family's gone before, so that only God gets credit. Can I get an amen? Can I get a better amen? But folks, that doesn't happen overnight. I wish it would. Wouldn't that change your prayer time? Wouldn't that change your serving time? Wouldn't that change your offering time? Could you imagine giving an offering and you walk back to your seat and right there you had 100-fold? Some of you would be like, Pastor, would you shut up and take up another offering, please? I just found online. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens over the process of time. And in the process of time is where we have to not only keep developing our faith, but developing our patience. Did you hear me? Let's go to the Word again. The Bible, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Amplified translation. For you have need of endurance. Patient endurance. For you have need of patient. I know that is not for you. We'll just blame me because I'll say, I need that. I'm the type that I get frustrated if I'm going through a drive-thru and they tell me to park over in lane 2. Come on, somebody. It's like, instead of putting a special side parking for people, why don't they figure out how to, okay, it's fast food, right? I don't care if it's fresh. It's fast food. You know, it's really, it is what it is. Just the other day, I was in a store. And the lady at the counter checking people out, she was talking to this other lady, and she only had 2 items. 2 items, Brandon. 2 items. And they were talking for 10 minutes about Elvis. The man's dead. I'm like, really? Oh, yeah. And they were just going on, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Come on, somebody. I'm looking around and saying, do I recognize anybody from the church right now? I'm joking. For you have, so we'll put it on me. I'm working on this. We're all growing. Say, I'm growing. No one's exempt from this. We're all growing in areas of our life. So if you don't have a promise actively fully in your life yet, that doesn't mean you're bad. We're growing. Say, I'm growing. Okay. For you have need of patient endurance to bear up under difficult circumstances without compromising. So that when you have carried out the will of God, here's the goal, you may receive, I love Amplified for this, you may receive and enjoy to the full what is promised. So God's saying, I don't want you to have 10% of the promise, I want you to have it all. And I want you to receive it and enjoy it. See, the Bible tells us, thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph, that we may be an aroma of his goodness wherever we go. But there's this transitional time. And if you're at the early phase of the goals and dreaming and bright eyes and everything's exciting, the future's great, and you haven't started yet, let me tell you, there will be storms. But life's not constant storms. But there will be times where it might not seem like your dream's going to happen. Don't give up. Don't quit. Stay strong. Paul said it this way, I fought a good fight. I finished the race. Hebrews 12 tells us to run the race set before us, run it to win it, which means you get in the mindset, I will not quit. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to the king, King, we know that our God is well able to deliver us. But if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow. Having a determination within yourself that I will not quit, regardless of the impossibility or the delay, I mean, how many years did it take Abraham to fully receive and enjoy? How many years did it take Noah to build an ark and the flood come? We're talking 120 years, and we get upset at 120 days, hours, minutes. God, it's been 120 seconds. Where are you? But we need that endurance because the journey of God, many times, and God's working things out. He's working things out in you. Because if you're not able to handle $100, you can't handle $100 million. God's working things and developing you. God's working. We see Abraham and Sarah. He was not just working in Abraham. He had to work in other people's lives. Sarah wasn't ready at a certain time. Got to work this thing out. So it's not an overnight process. I wish it was overnight, but it's not overnight. And if you want to reach the blessings of God in any area of your life, just not financially, but all the areas, you got to realize that the journey will require a delay sometimes that you don't always want. But if you keep going, you can have it. You cannot be denied. If God said yes and the devil said no, you're the deciding factor. If you're willing to keep going. I remember a few years ago when Logan was little, my wife and I were invited to do Thanksgiving with somebody on her side of the family, her aunt and uncle, at Gulf Shores. I'd never been to Gulf Shores. It sounded like a great idea. And then we had this idea, let's drive. 13 hours. Can you imagine? I'll just say, I love my family. I'll fly somehow next time. I'll never drive in 13 hours again. Because you know what happens. First hour in the drive is, God is my witness. You know what the question we got, right? Are we there yet? I mean, what do? You got 13 hours. In the first hour, you got 12 left. How do you explain that to, and she's older now and can understand it, but when they're little, they don't understand. Can you imagine on my 13-hour drive, driving for 8 hours, and about the 8th or 9th hour, getting frustrated and saying, you know what, I am so sick of this drive. I don't think I can take another hour. I can't stand this anymore. It's not worth it. We should have never gone. We're going back. And turn the car around and start heading back. And about the 6th or 7th hour on the way back, my wife says, but honey, you know what? They are waiting for us, and we gave them our word. You know, you're right. And the Bible says, swear to your own hurt. Your word is your bond. Turn back around. And get about 4 or 5 hours into that drive and say, you know what? We would already have been there if we didn't turn around the first time. And I am so frustrated. Have you ever been so mad at yourself and you're like, we're going to take it on everybody? I am so frustrated with this situation. I am really sick of driving now. I am done with this. We're going back. Turn around and keep driving. Get about 3 or 4 hours and my daughter said, but Daddy, I've never been to the beach and I really like to see the beach. You're right, sweetie. You need to have a chance and turn around again. How many people know that I'm never getting anywhere? Right? James says that a double-minded person, don't let that person ever think that they will receive anything from the Lord. It's not because Jesus doesn't love them. It's not because it's not prepared for them. The reality and truth is because as they start on their journey, they begin to change directions. And they never stay long enough to finish the journey. Because some things aren't a five-minute drive. Some parts of your life is going to be a 13-hour drive. Or maybe a 13-year drive. We don't want to hear about that stuff. Some things, you're believing the word that God's given to you, and it's not overnight. But if you don't quit, the Bible says don't cast away your confidence, for it's a great recompense of reward, which means don't quit. We have need of patience because, folks, when the word is received and you feel good about it and God's spoken to your heart and you have that peace that you know it's a word from God, the word of the Lord. See, right now when you're hearing me speak, I'm speaking words. When I read the Bible, you're hearing the Bible spoken by me. But there is the word of the Lord when the Holy Spirit speaks the word into your heart. Study it out. Old Testament, the word of the Lord, Dabar Yahweh, which means a noun and a verb combined. Simultaneously, when God speaks what's not there, it becomes because his word is active. Isaiah 55:11 will not return void. But when we receive that word, we're excited about it. But when you begin to walk out that word and apply that word, do you know what happens? People don't applaud. People don't cheer. In fact, you might have some opposition or resistance. Matthew 13 says when the seed of the word comes into your heart and those who don't pay attention, they lose it. But those who embrace and receive it with gladness, and it goes into the next phase and he talks about that there's that seed that begins to grow. It begins to produce. And as it's being produced, the sun withers it and dies. And the disciples are like, what does that mean? And Jesus said, it's the people that embrace the word and they're excited about it. But when opposition or pressure, check it out, when pressure or tribulation comes because of the word's sake, if they don't have any roots, if they're only just living on the emotional side and they don't have no depth, if they don't have anything that stick to it, the wither. It's always available. But how you handle and stick with it, because it's not overnight. The first time you get a revelation on tithing, and we teach the word of God is true about tithing and the kingdoms of God. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You have to realize it is what it is. I know people abuse it. I know people misuse it. I got that. There's extremes on any truth. But if you want God's blessing, financial blessing in your life, he has a system. It's not about wishing, wanting. It's not even about praying. It's simply about obeying his word. What you sow, you shall reap. God said it. We try to go around it, and people will misuse it and abuse people. And that's why the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver, because you don't give financially cheerfully unless you've got a heart revelation. It's getting quiet. You know, you talk about money, people get nervous. But every promise has a condition, and it works. But in the moment you get that revelation and begin to obey, you go back looking for your boss to give you a raise. But it might not be raised that week. It might be we're looking to do cutbacks. The pressure because of the word. You get a revelation on how to help your marriage get better, relationship, and all of a sudden you bring home flowers, and all of a sudden it doesn't work out the way you had it planned in your imagination. You look, honey, I love you. I brought you flowers. And she looks at you and says, what did you do now? Pressure because of the word. The question is not if you're going to have pressure because of the word. The idea is, do you want the result enough that you'll stand against any opposition? And life's not about pressure all the time. People that preach about always problems, it doesn't work that way. You'll have battles. But if you're built on the word, you can stand. You can stand if you're willing to stay standing and not quit. But there'll be pressure. There'll be pressure. But don't let the pressure. You're stronger than the devil. You have the shield of faith that quenches power. You're called to be more than a conqueror. The head and not the tail. Above always, never to be beneath. Am I speaking to you? What am I saying? Don't be intimidated by the pressure, because greater is he that is in you What did Jesus do when there were storms blowing? He spoke to the wind. Knock it off. That's what you would say to your kids, right? Don't you one more word. I even have to look at you. I brought you into this world. He spoke to the wind and it spoke to the sea. Folks, let me think about this. Think of the power of God's word in your heart. Out of the abundance of the mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? When you're squeezed, you want to find out what's in your heart. When the pressure squeezes you, what comes out of your mouth? If pressure comes, you're like, I'm believing, I am the healed of the Lord. By his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. And the pain comes, pressure. And you say, oh, I know, I knew it wouldn't work. Now we know what's in the heart. And you've been saying just what's in your head. Oh, I gave and now look what happened. It looks like an unexpected bill. I knew I shouldn't have obeyed God with my generosity and giving. What's in your heart? Pressure will squeeze you. But what comes out is what's in your heart. But you get to where that comes out of your heart is the word of God. Think about this. Years ago, we have a lot of Hope churches in the Philippines. And Pastor Jesse, who's our national director over there, he's convinced, he might be right or wrong, about how our government uses the Philippines, and they're always testing stuff on the Filipinos. But we got talking about this conspiracy theory and the idea of trying to create a weapon that controls weather. Wouldn't that be a cool weapon? If they could come up with that weapon, that would just change the game of war, would it not? I mean, because all you have to do is send a few tornadoes to your enemy, and everybody just sit back and watch, right? Because what do you do with a tornado? What do you do with a hurricane? Right? You see all these end time movies, the storms acting up. What do you do? Why? Because we don't have a weapon powerful enough to create or to stop the storm. Unless you're Jesus and you speak the word. His word was able to change a storm. And when you speak God's word and you believe and you stick with it. Last verse, let's throw it up. Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 50. Because of the sovereign Lord helps me. I like this. Say, because Jesus is helping me. Come on, work with me, church. Say, because Jesus is helping me. I will not be disgraced. That means I will not be embarrassed. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, which means like a rock. I have set my focus. I have set my goal. I have set the destination. Jesus at the cross, despised and ashamed, but he focused on the reward. I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be put to shame because God is with me. Because Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Set your goals, but set them with God and keep him with you, and you'll keep on that race, that journey of what God's revealing to you, and you can know. It might take longer than you planned or expected, but you know what? They can't stop you. They can't stop you. They'll try to keep pushing you down. You keep coming to the top. They keep trying to knock you down. You keep rising to the top. They keep trying to break you down. You keep coming back. They're going to look and say, why do they keep coming back? Because they can't stop you. Joshua 1, 6 to 9. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. I'm with you. Don't give up. Be strong and courageous. Don't give up. Amen. Amen. Amen.